welcome to this episode of 60 Second Retail, a BDO podcast keeping you in the know on events and trends in the retail and consumer products industry impacting your bottom line in just a few short minutes.
Hello, my name is Natalie Cutler. I'm the national leader of the Retail and Consumer Product Industry Group at BDO USA. With us today is Shauna Wager, director in our Enterprise Business Applications Group at BDO USA. Shauna is here to speak with us about the hyper-personalization trends underway in retail and provide some guardrails on implementation to avoid some of the many challenges this tactic can present from both the consumer sentiment and the growing call for governance on practices fueled by data collection. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So personalization is nothing new to retailers. I mean, they've been doing it for quite some time. Traditionally speaking, though, personalization has included things like emails addressed to customers using their name. That's a given today, right? Coupons for products a customer has purchased in the past that are now being targeted to them. Also, pretty vanilla today. But hyper-personalization is different. Can you explain what this difference is? And probably more importantly, what does hyper-personalization look like to the consumer?
Sure. So I was recently reading an article that talked about changing consumer attitudes. It said that something like 26% of U.S. adults believe brands do a good job of understanding who they are. And I'll say these numbers are extremely low. The reason they're low is just what you said, because today most organizations are using traditional personalization, which is basic. It's like, hello, Natalie, in an email, or offering a targeted bounce back coupon, either digitally or in the box that comes from like Amazon. But hyper-personalization means you have to dig deeper. It means leveraging advanced technologies like artificial intelligence and machine learning, and also like near or real-time data analytics. And here's how it differs. So with hyper-personalization, we use a wide range of data points. This could be something like browsing behavior, purchase history, social media activity, and then, of course, that real-time location data follows us around. We also, you know, hyper-personalization adapts in real-time to a customer's actions. So it's really providing that near, immediate, or relevant recommendation. And taking it a step farther, you introduce predictive analytics. And if you're really doing it well, and I think Amazon is a good example of this in certain categories, but you bring in predictive analytics, which looks to identify future behavior and preferences. It's that little nudge or that offering of, hey, you like this, so maybe you'll like this next one even better. And you know, when you're nudging on products and services before the customer even realizes they need it or want it, it makes them go, oh, maybe I should look at that. So that's the big deal about hyper-personalization. And, you know, it looks more dynamic. So you ask the question, what does it look like to a consumer? Well, website and apps that change content based on my preferences versus your preferences, that's a big deal. Personal recommendations, suggested products or services that align with what I'm currently doing. Like, I think sometimes I watch Prime, right? Prime Video, and whatever I'm watching, now all of a sudden it's going to suggest something either very similar or along the lines. And then tailored messaging, right? Not just addressing by name, but reflecting my interests and maybe needs that I have at the moment. And I'll just cite, it's homecoming time now if you have high school students, right? So I've got a daughter who's all into homecoming, and we were looking for shoes, and you know, heels are not for Gen Z, they're into the sneaks. So like Converse or Adidas or Nike or something, she was looking for something that had pink. So she typed in her little search preferences of pink or smatterings of pink. And first she got all pink. She's like, I don't want all pink. I just want a little bit of pink. So put that back in there. And the site she was looking at really catered to that hyper-personalized experience. And she was able to find the type of shoe she wanted rather quickly. And that pushed her to buy like within seconds. The other thing that's interesting about the Gen Z group right now is not only do they want what they want when they want it, but they also want to see if they can find a coupon to get that a little cheaper. So understanding that audience, really understanding that and serving up the type of content they're searching for, but being able to look at their history of, you know, their buying signals and what they've done, pairing that with other habits really takes personalization, hyper-personalization to a whole new level.
So you bring up looking for sneakers with a pink smattering. I mean, I remember when we used to walk the malls weekend after weekend, store after store, looking for something where now you really could just be doing it at the tip of your fingertips. And there it is. And you can make that purchase. So it definitely seems like this is something that consumers would want, right? But there's also some major concerns we've heard on this, you know, from consumers, from a security perspective, Big Brother is watching. So what are the challenges, or are there any challenges or drawbacks for retailers who want to use this hyper-personalization strategy?
Yeah, so this is a good topic because there is definitely a fine line in using hyper-personalization. You don't want to take it too far. It becomes a bit creepy when you're talking to your friends about something and then all of a sudden stuff starts showing up on your phone or in Insta, right? And you're at the store and all of a sudden a digital coupon pops up for the area that you're shopping in the store on. And you're like, okay, that's really weird. Now, for my daughter's crowd, again, they'd be looking at the products that they're thinking and wondering, is there a coupon out there? So situationally, Big Brother's not so bad, but it really depends on how we're using it. So, you know, concerns here, data is the big concern. When you are hyper-personalizing, you are collecting just vast amounts of data. And this means that you have to have robust data governance and data security measures in place and really make sure you know the privacy regulations and laws around all of that, because the last thing that you want to do in our ever-changing environment is break those laws and then you have major fines that come upon you. So as a retailer, you want to make sure you have robust data policies, you keep your data pristine, and you can keep your data pristine and really be concerned about security by using things like data clean rooms to securely share your data with third parties. And also creating those policies in a way that, you know, with your legal teams to make sure you're covering all those things. The last thing you want to do is to make sure that you're prioritizing transparency with your consumers. I'd like to say that transparency equals trust, and trust is the cornerstone of a relationship. And that's what we're building. We're building a relationship with our buyer. So, you know, to help avoid that creepy kind of feeling, you need to strike that balance by respecting user boundaries, but wanting to opt for communication with them. And so that communication needs to enhance their experience, not overwhelm them. You know, it's kind of like when you're in a brick and mortar store and no one likes that salesperson that hovers and says, how you doing? What do you like? We have these things, right? We have to make sure virtually we're not hovering too. If you're using AI, it's great, but you can't implicitly trust the AI that you get returned. You have to review it and make sure it's accurate and it really is on brand or on promotion to communicate that right, relevant message too. Because if you don't, then now you've just broken trust with your audience. So getting personalization right is a big deal here. And the last thing I'll say is preference is everything, right? So not just saying, hey, do you want to talk to me? But what do you want to talk to me about is a really important part of this. All of this goes back to the data you're collecting, how you're housing it, and how you're making it available.
So you've given us so much to think about. Maybe if you can just summarize, what advice would you give retailers today that are looking towards this hyper-personalization? I know you talked about the hovering, and I completely agree with you. It's very creepy when you have a conversation with your friend or your significant other, and all of a sudden you start getting all of these ads about something you never researched, but certainly spoke about. So what advice would you give retailers on this?
So I would say be mindful of that. Like, go through the experience on your own, start talking about your own products and see what happens out there, and then tailor it back a little bit. So, you know, voice of customer, image of customer, that's super important. You really want to know your audience inside and out. So spend some time getting to know them even more than you do today. The second thing is that table stakes, absolute, like, top three are approaching this whole topic with the understanding that investing in your data is a must. Investing in data and analytics, investing in AI. So your tools, your applications help you collect the data and get them in a way that you can analyze them easily. And then you need to leverage AI to enable them to more accurately present that personalization, right? So that's got to be number one. The second thing I would say is, and people laugh at me when I say this, but, you know, marketing and security need to become besties. They really do. They need to hold hands and walk down the street, because ensuring data privacy and security and being transparent about how you do so to your community, that's what's going to endure you to that community. And that is what's really going to make yourselves trustworthy and also future-proof you for any sort of fines or any sort of trouble you might get into with GDPR, CCPA, or any of those other regulations that are out there. And it's a huge trust builder. And why you need to hold hands with marketing is because then you need to translate those privacy and security policies across your omni-channel experience. So all of your campaigns, consistent messaging, consistent personalization across all channels, whether it's online, mobile, in-store, and you use your systems to integrate that experience. So again, top three, I'll summarize because I said a lot here. Know your data. Data is king, data is queen, data is all over the place. Data privacy and security is the next thing, and then omni-channel experience.
Awesome. Shauna, thank you so much. And if you found this episode as insightful as I did, be sure to share this out with your friends and colleagues. And don't forget to tune in next week so you can stay in the know as to what's hot in retail. Thank you.
And that concludes this episode of BDO's 60 Second Retail Podcast. Don't forget to tune in for the next episode. To find more information on our hosts, guests, BDO services, or listen to previous episodes of 60 Second Retail, please visit www.bdo.com/60-second-retail.